come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord, have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Hey there, everyone. It's time for Go Yard, and I am Mama Mac, and I am joined with my co-host, the wonderful, the amazing, the intelligent and wise Dr. Angel Falzone.
Hey, wow, as always, you give me big shoes to fill.
Well, you know, we want people to know all your great qualities, Doctor, and it's, as always, wonderful to be sitting here in the studio with you, getting ready to do another amazing show, which we love doing.
We do.
And we are now 14 months into this project, aren't we?
I know, and it's
Isn't
always
great?
Exciting, and
Every
I love it.
Every week, don't we look forward to it? I do, and I hope our audience does too. And from the nature of tonight's show, the listeners are responding, because tonight is one of our famous Go Yard Q&A shows.
Yes, it is. This is a great time when we take your questions.
That's right.
We'll try to answer them on air.
And we're doing that. And we have 10 in front of us tonight. And if we don't get through them all, we'll just go on to next week or whatever, because there's some really nitty-gritty, intense stuff sitting here on this table, Doctor. So if you are, wherever you are, if you're listening from Starcom Media Network, welcome, because we are in many cities across the United States on Starcom Media and several countries. And you can text us during the show, or you can text us at any time at our Google Voice number, 727-888-4171, anytime with these questions. Or you can email. Some of these are so lengthy that people email. And that email address is goyard2014@gmail.com. And we don't want to forget about Facebook, do we?
No, we don't. Facebook, Go Yard.
Whatever.
1340. So many numbers going through my head. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Doctor. That's all right. So we are approaching the holiday season.
No, can you believe it?
No, it's crazy. It's
still
been going
85 degrees outside.
Yeah, in Florida, it's, we're still in a heat wave. But wherever you are, you may not be in a heat wave. It may be cooler and more comfortable, or actually cold and snowy. If that's the case, we're sorry for you, but we are glad for us that we're here in sunny Florida. Doctor, are you ready for question number one?
I am.
And some of you, if you have a comment or a question on these during the show, text us. We may not get to your comment till the next show, just because of the logistics of all of it, but we want your comments, and that is 727-888-4171 is our Google Voice number, anytime, 24/7, 365. Doctor, here's your first question. And by the way, she's our resident expert, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and all of that. All right, question number one. This person says, and of course, these people remain nameless, I have set some goals for myself and have looked at some things that I would like to change in my life. My problem is, I just can't seem to get motivated. I keep procrastinating over and over and putting things off. I'm feeling really frustrated with not being able to move forward. How can I overcome procrastination? Didn't we do a show on procrastination this year? I'm not sure if we did or not.
I'm not sure if we did, but it's a really good topic.
It's a good topic. So what do you say to this person?
Well, first of all, procrastination is a huge problem a lot of people struggle with.
Oh, yeah.
And it is that evil thing to our goals and moving forward. It's the thing that kind of holds us back.
Right.
And so overcoming procrastination, I'm going to use some more P words.
All right, here we go.
It's that purposeful.
Purposeful.
It's being purposeful in what
we're
doing.
That's your word.
It really is.
Purposeful.
But I think what could be happening with this question is that this person looks like they've made some goals and have looked over some things, and maybe their goal set's large.
Okay.
So it seems overwhelming.
Right.
Because that's usually one of the triggers of procrastination when we have to do something that's a really big task.
Right.
And so what I would tell this person is, let's just chunk those goals into a very small steps.
Chunking. I remember you and your chunking. I think that's really good. You want to explain chunking one more time to those who just were like, what did she just say?
Well, that's where we're going to break it down.
Okay.
So we're going to keep the whole goal in mind, but in the back of our mind, off to the side. So we kind of have a little roadmap, but we're going to break it down. So
okay.
Whatever the goal is that you're trying to do, if it's you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to work on a new career, those are huge tasks.
Right.
So break it down into small things. Like, you know, this week I will work on updating my resume and,
sure.
you know, and making it very small, manageable tasks so that you can find that energy to not be overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
And to do something. And then make a plan to do it. Put it in your schedule. And say, I am going to do
and set aside the time for it, right? And that is hard for a lot of people to set aside time.
It is, but the hardest step is the first.
Right.
So once you make your first step,
right,
you're in with procrastination, it's all about putting things off.
Yeah.
I can do it tomorrow. I'll do it after dinner. I'll do it on the commercial of the show, whatever it is. You just got to do it now.
Yeah.
You got to find one task and do it now.
Right. And so for these people, this person that seems to not be motivated and procrastinating and all of that, that's a good way to overcome it. Just chunk it. You do small things, right?
Absolutely. And I don't know that this person so much lacks motivation because it does take some time to put goals together and to look at things and to make a plan. That's the first good step.
Yeah. Because she or he says, I have set some goals for myself. Yeah.
And I don't know if you would be really frustrated if you didn't want these changes.
Right.
So it sounds like this person wants to really do these things. And it's just about making it go from overwhelming to manageable.
To manageable. Okay, good answer. Let's look at the second question. This one's pretty intense. Wow. And it's long. So hang with me, doctor. I have a live-in girlfriend and we have been together for a couple of years. She moved in with me when she lost her job and did not have a place to stay. Our relationship was going good at the time, and it just made sense for us to go to the next step. Over the past few months, things have not been going well. When I make plans to hang out with the guys or attend business functions, she gets really weird. She starts blowing up my phone with all kinds of crises, wanting me to come be with her. I can't just drop everything and come home, and I really enjoy hanging with my buddies to watch the games. My buddies start noticing and even ragging me about her calls and texts. I think it is time that we go our separate ways, but I feel bad because she doesn't make that much money, and she can't afford her own place. I do care about her, but I cannot live like this. What do I do? This gentleman's got a real problem.
It is, and it's kind of multifaceted here.
Okay, so let's talk about all the facets of it then.
We're going to chunk it up.
Chunk it up.
And make it manageable.
Let's chunk it, girl.
As Chris is laughing at us.
I know. Our engineer Chris is getting ready to comment here in a minute, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's got some comments. Go ahead.
Well, it seems to me that I don't even know if this person's even tried talking to his girlfriend and communicating what's happening because it doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that he's been talking it out.
Straight to, we have this problem and it's time to go our separate ways.
So yeah.
We don't want a resolution. I think it looks like there's some guilt.
Yeah. It sounds like he feels a little bad about the fact that he's about ready to ditch her.
But that I think he's made up his mind. He's done. So, Chris, would you like to weigh in on some of this?
Well, it's funny because so this guy kind of sounds eerily similar to a younger version of myself.
Oh, I'm so glad he admitted that.
And what I mean by that is this guy to me sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah, he does. Sounds like a nice guy. He cares what happens to his girlfriend.
And I don't think he's just saying, I care about her. I think he really does. I think he really does care about her. And if he didn't, he wouldn't have taken her in whatever. However, he took her in and she moved into his place. So I'm assuming it was his place.
It says that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was his on his own. He had been there already by himself and she moved in because she lost her job.
Yes.
Well, now, first things first, you are already kind of throwing up red flags when you just assume that the timing is right. First, he said the relationship was going well and it just seemed like the right thing to do.
That's what he said,
And if that's the case, then what you're saying about she moved in because she lost her job is incorrect. One of those two things is not right. Either she moved in because she lost her job, which is fine because you're the nice guy, or she moved in because the relationship was going well and that's what you wanted to do. Both of those things cannot possibly be mutually exclusive. They cannot have both have happened.
That's so, interesting insight.
One of those things is wrong.
Okay. So I think here, doctor, to correct us, our relationship was going good at the time. Doesn't say great. Doesn't say I wanted to marry her. Nothing like that. Says good. And it just made sense for us to go to the next step is what he says here.
Okay. And so,
and he's trying to help her.
Right.
Don't you think?
And that's what reminds me of a younger version of myself. So
okay.
I've been in relationships and I've been to that point where you just assume that the next thing to do is move in together.
Right.
And I've also been in those relationships where we're kind of early on and something really major happens and you don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't really ready to have them move in, or you aren't really ready to meet the parents, or you aren't really ready to take them to your work Christmas party, or you aren't really ready to do whatever.
Right.
But because something happened.
That's what's happened here.
You feel obligated.
That's it. Obligation.
To do it. So I feel like he felt obligated to take this girl in. And now, and that's why I don't think this was about the relationship going well and taking it to the next level. I think this was about him being a nice guy and feeling obligated because he didn't want her to be stranded. She probably doesn't have family nearby. Mm-hmm. She probably doesn't have anyone else to go to. She may or may not have a lot of friends in the area. Whatever the case may be, that doesn't mean that it's your responsibility to take her in. Further to that point, I just don't know. I question whether or not he's really even that physically attracted to her. Because a lot of...
That's interesting insight.
We're guys. It's what we do. I don't care who you are. You can say all you want that looks doesn't matter. It does.
Okay.
And so if your buddies are ridiculing you because your girlfriend's blowing up your phone, I'm sorry. But if one of my buddies started ridiculing me because my girlfriend blew up my phone, I'd be like, why are you ridiculing me? Like, this is my girlfriend. You know, like, if it's going that well,
right,
then the simple response is, this is my girlfriend. Like, I don't know how long they've been together, but maybe my future wife, maybe the girl I want to marry. Maybe,
right.
I don't know how old they are.
Right.
You know, you can't let your buddies to turn around and say, I think we should leave because my buddies are.
That's good insight.
I want to watch the game with my friends too.
Right.
You know?
So the insight, is excellent here from our engineer, Chris, who, what do you think, doctor? Well, let's hear from Dr. Angel. All right.
No, I think Chris made a lot of really great points.
I think you're right, too.
It can't be the right time and, she lost her job.
Right.
So I think he had maybe some savior complex wanting to step in and rescue.
Yes, rescue.
And then when he rescued, maybe he sounds like he still wants a lot of freedom because he's watching games with his buddies and that's what he's enjoying to do. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But maybe he wasn't ready for that type of relationship and he's realizing it's cramping in on my single lifestyle. So I got to change this.
Right.
And so savior, that rescue mentality has now become like, oh my goodness. Mentality. How do I stop this?
Right.
And so that's where I think there's some guilt coming in because she cannot afford to have her own place. So, he's definitely feeling some guilt to this. So what should he do? He can help her find a place. They can sit and make a timetable. Our relationship really isn't working out this way, but let's make a plan. Let's make a 3-month plan.
That's good.
To save extra money and, help her be prepared to move out on her own and maybe find a roommate if she can't do it on her own or, other sources of support.
That's excellent. I like your idea to make a plan because his last two lines here are, I do care about her, but I cannot live like this. It doesn't sound like he's trying to work it out.
No, it doesn't sound like that. Because if he was, I would say, well, let's talk about this. Let's communicate about this. Let's set some, boundaries.
But it's not like that.
Compromise, and that's not it. So maybe we just need to make a plan to help her where she can move out on her own and he can absolve himself from the guilt.
Very good. And his last sentence is, what do I do? And I think we just answered that.
Yep.
All right, let's go to question number 3. Recently, my teenage daughter told me that she thinks she is gay and that she has a girlfriend. I was shocked. I didn't raise her to be this way, as we are a God-fearing family and attend church 2 to 3 times a week. I don't understand why she's doing this to her family. Oh, I'm going to underline that right there. I love my daughter very much, but I cannot condone this lifestyle that will result in her going to hell. That's drastic. This past weekend, my daughter tried committing suicide. Oh, wow. And was placed in the hospital. Thank God she was unsuccessful. I don't understand all this. It is causing a lot of conflict in our home. How can I help her see that what she is doing is wrong?
Woo, this is a doozy.
Yeah, that one is. Wow.
I don't think we asked the right question.
Okay, well, that's the question she's asking, doctor. How can I help her see that what she is doing is wrong? That's her question.
Well, the way I see it, and this is going very clinical here, is that her daughter is extremely depressed.
Okay.
And whatever is causing that, if it's the conflict of her sexuality and her family, I don't know. But her daughter living is probably a very important thing to her.
Yes.
And first of all, we need professional help in this family, not just for the daughter.
Right.
But for this whole family.
Right.
To navigate this this difficult situation. What I need to do, I think the question should be, how can I support my daughter? How can I make my daughter feel loved? She's crying out. She needs love. She needs to feel accepted. She needs for just being your daughter.
Right.
Putting aside the difference in the personal belief of sexuality and religion and that conflict there.
Right.
And she needs to have her mother's love and support first and foremost as unconditional love.
Right.
And
I don't hear that in this question.
I don't. I hear a question. Lot of judgment.
I do too. How can I help her see that what she's doing is wrong? That's just a...
That's not where she needs to... She can't... That's not where we are. How can I make my daughter feel loved? How can I help my daughter through this depression?
Right. And the fact that she tried to commit suicide is a huge...
That's drastic. That tells me that this is a huge part of this issue.
Yeah.
And this family's very broken and going through a very difficult time. And you might be able to convince her what she's doing is wrong, but she might be dead.
Right.
So you can be right and not have a daughter.
Right.
In your eyes.
So they've got to have professional help. That's what
absolutely
you see here.
Need professional
I do too.
Help and support.
To answer that specific question that she asks, how can I help her see what she is doing is wrong? We don't have an answer for that. Right.
Well, and here's the thing. As a parent, we're not going to always agree or like the choices our kids make.
Oh, no.
It's the end of the story. They're going to make and find their own ways through life. And some might go against what we believe is right or wrong. But then at the end of the day, they have that freedom.
Sure.
And we just, as parents, need to let our children know we love them.
Right.
For who they are. As my daughter, as my son, I give you unconditional love and back up and be supportive of her as a person.
Right. And try to not debate these issues all the time. Get professional help. Yeah, for her to sort out her lifestyle.
Some of this can just totally be a difference of what mom believes and her religion and faith, and the daughter may have a whole different set of beliefs. And that's okay to believe different.
Right. Yeah. And this is a problem in a lot of homes.
It is.
This very issue. So we take it very seriously, but we would encourage this mother to get some help here and help to get the daughter some help, don't you think?
Absolutely. First of all, the daughter absolutely needs professional therapy, but this whole family does.
Yeah.
Because this is a pretty big conflict, and it's obviously having very serious implications.
Yes, I see. So. Okay, let's go to question number 4. Change of subject. I am a 27-year-old, had a career, and recently had a career. Had a career. That might be important here. And recently found my husband cheating on me. I filed divorce as he had no intention to leave her. We moved to Florida after we were married, and all my family lives in another state. I moved back home to be close to family. Now I live in my parents' basement. Whoa. And have to wait tables for a living because the state doesn't recognize my professional credentials. I feel so angry, frustrated, and depressed. It is not fair that I've lost everything and he is just living his life. How do I get out of this rut? Boy, if that is not a good question, and I'm sure in therapy you have heard this type of situation. I certainly have heard this stuff counseling people. It's a very real problem. So let's break it down, doctor. What do you think?
Well, we're going to chunk this one too.
Let's chunk this one up here. Chunk it up.
Well, what I see is somebody who has a lot of anger and frustration towards the fact that she found her husband cheating on her.
Right.
And has made decisions that have altered her life. However, she did not get to control the husband's choice, but she did have control over how her choices after he cheated on her. She made the decision to file a divorce, and she made the decision to move back home to be with her family.
Yeah.
And those were her choices as the byproduct of what happened. She has some unresolved anger towards that relationship and some grieving to do towards that relationship. But the rest of what happened were her choices.
That's a good point.
You know, she knew she had a professional license or credentials here, whatever it was. And, you know, as professionals, we all know that different states recognize different things.
It's that
you
know, way in that real estate.
Should have been something she looked at before making this move. And I would probably go on a gander and guess this was probably done very impulsively with not a lot of
sounds like a thought.
So now we're 27 years old and we are, what was her job, did she say?
She doesn't say. She says that she had a career.
And so she's lost.
Oh, now she's waiting tables.
Waiting tables.
Yeah.
And living in her parents' basement.
Yeah. Oh, not good.
So what can she do to get out of this rut? Well, she could start working towards doing whatever she needs to do to reinstate her credentials with that state and just understand that this is a setback and it's not forever.
Right.
Good point. And start making good steps to getting that reinstated and, you know, getting herself back on her feet. Because when we separate from marriages and divorce, there's always going to be some kind of setback.
Yes.
And I think she's feeling that frustration because her ex-husband didn't seem to have that setback, but he stayed put and probably had his job and nothing really changed. She changed drastically in the scope of what she did.
She could actually move back to Florida where she's licensed in whatever profession this is.
Credentialed, whatever she's credentialed in and work. But she chose to go back to be with her family. And so what I would say is then you're just going to have to look at this as, okay, it's a time to rebuild and it's not forever. And what do I need to do to get back into my career?
Good point.
And to move forward with my life instead of that anger. And, you know, it's not fair.
Right.
I hear that all the time. Life is not fair.
Doctor, whoa. Do you hear that from people complaining a lot in your practice and that life isn't fair?
Or I hear that all the time.
This isn't fair to this girl. I mean, obviously, her husband cheated on her. It's not good. It's not fair.
No, it's not. But life's not fair.
But life's, right.
And so, when things happen, we just sometimes have to change our course and make different choices. But everything she did was a choice that she made after this event. So she made the choice to leave. She made the choice to go back home and be with, you know, live in her family's basement. She made a lot of choices. So she now is feeling that reaping what she doesn't like about those choices. And it seems like she's blaming him for those poor choices. But those were her choices.
Well, her final comment here that she sent in was this: how do I get out of this rut? And I think you're answering that.
I am. It's all right. What do I need to do to get recredentialed in my field that I'm used to working in? So what do I need to do by the state? If it's take extra classes or CUs or whatever it is that you need to do, that's the steps she needs to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, waiting tables can be a blessing job because it's
very
flexible. You know, what your responsibilities are. So if she has to take extra class or do extra things, she could have the time to do it.
Oh, absolutely. So it's, okay. You've given her some great options, and I hope she's listening, but you will, I'm sure, answer her anyway, privately. But anyway, this is great. Okay, we have another question, number 5. Here we go.
All right.
I have a new coworker that is driving me crazy. Some of us have had coworkers that drive us crazy, right? He comes to work late, leaves early, and disappears for hours during the day. I come to work early. I stay late. I often work through lunch to get through the projects that need to be completed. The problem is this coworker and I often have to work together to complete projects, and he doesn't carry his weight, but ends up getting the credit for my work. Oh, that's not good. I end up picking up his slack because I care about the quality of the work that I'm a part of. I am so over this. How can I get my coworker to stop slacking and start doing his part? Wow, this is a frustration, I think, Dr. Angel, that a lot of people have in the workplace. I've heard this different times through the years, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely.
This kind of a problem with a coworker that really slacks off but yet gets credit and things that just doesn't seem fair. Again, you're saying life isn't fair, right?
It's not fair. You know, it's funny
I knew you were going to say that.
I hear this problem when I work with kids and they have to do group projects. You know, there's always those individuals in the group that they don't really contribute, but they all get the A or the B or whatever.
Right.
The group earns. So this kind of stems all the way back from grade school.
It does, doesn't it? The same type of problem. And aren't there always people like this that are, I guess the word is users? I don't know what label you want to put on it, but.
Well, there are. And here are some things I can see in kind of in the course of this is this person is doing the other person's work and is feeling resentful for having for doing it.
Right.
And so one thing I would say is, does your supervisor, are they aware of what's going on?
Right.
You know, that would be one step. The second step is when we have a project, maybe we need to allocate tasks.
Oh, okay.
And you do your tasks.
Right.
And let that person be responsible. And if they don't do it, then we have written tasks. So when we work on a project, maybe we need to break that project up of, okay, these are going to be the tasks, you know,
that's
here's
good.
Your task, here's my task, and each person be accountable for the task. And if they don't do it, let them take the part, the responsibility for not, and let it be seen. Instead of rescuing them, making the project work, and
yeah, this person ends up picking up his slack because I care about the quality of the work that I'm a part of.
And I want you to care about your quality of work, but maybe we need to divide the task and put it down in writing. Right? These are the tasks. These are what I'm going to be accountable. Here are the due dates for us. We're going to make this together in the planning part of this.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And, you know, and you're choosing to come to work early. You're choosing to stay to work late.
Okay.
Your job requires a certain time. You're choosing to put more than your job's requiring of you.
Right.
And now you're feeling resentful because other people are doing less and still getting the same reward. So maybe you shouldn't come to work early and stay late. Maybe you should take your lunch.
Good point.
And work your honest hours, honestly, but within the parameters. You're not following the boundaries you should be, and you're wearing yourself out.
Right. And becoming very resentful and frustrated with
the
whole
process.
Thing. Yeah. I like this last question that this person asked. How can I get my coworker to stop slacking and start doing his part? How can I get, I mean, this is kind of a theme we're hearing tonight. How can I make somebody do what I want them to do? Are you hearing that theme so far?
Absolutely, I'm hearing that theme.
I mean, don't you find that in your practice? And we find that in life, that so often everybody wants somebody, whoever that somebody is, your girlfriend, your wife, your coworker, your boss, to make them do what you want them to do. That's what I keep hearing.
Well, here's the thing. We only have the control over our own choices,
there
our own
go.
Behaviors, our own actions, our own attitudes, and our own successes. And so, first and foremost, you cannot get anybody to do anything.
That's a good point right here. You can't do that.
Stop trying to do that.
Stop
expecting it to go the way you think. And set it up to where we have defined tasks with defined deadlines and who's responsible. And if it doesn't come in, if it's not completed correctly, then that person can be held accountable to his or her supervisors for the task they did not complete. Instead of you taking on this entire thing, overworking your work boundaries and feeling resentful and angry.
Okay, we're going to talk more about this in just a minute. Hey, stay tuned. This is Go Yard with Mama Mac and Dr. Angel. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend. Tell them to join you in the listening tonight.
Professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707. Is it time to consider a new pool enclosure or beautiful screen room for your family's enjoyment? Family-owned and operated, Boyle's Aluminum is the place to call for timely installation of all types of seamless guttering and screen enclosures. Boyle's Aluminum is A-rated on Angie's List and with the Better Business Bureau. Check out their website at boylesaluminum.com or call today for a free estimate at 727-504-9354. Mention this ad for a discount on your project. Boyle's Aluminum, treating you like family with honest and reliable service.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
I will never let you fall. I'll stand up with you forever. I'll be there for you through it all. Even if saving you sends me to heaven, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
All right, welcome back to Go Yard with Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac, and we have a Q&A show tonight, and we love those shows. They're just fun. These questions come from you, our listeners, and we are always in the market for new situations to talk about on Go Yard. So take this address down and send us your comments and questions, and we'll include you on a next show. And that email address is goyard2014@gmail.com, because a lot of these questions are lengthy. If you'd rather text, you can do that at 727-888-4171. Starcom Media Network. Listeners, you may do the same. It's not just local here in Tampa Bay. We want to hear from all of you. You can text anytime with your questions or comments on these shows. 727-888-4171. And again, the email address one more time because of the Q&A questions that come in, goyard2014@gmail.com. Tonight, Dr. Angel, we are taking questions, and actually we have them written out here in front of us, 10 questions that we were going to try to cover tonight. These have come in from listeners who are going through difficult situations in their lives. These are real people. These are not things that we've just sat down and written for fun. These are people that ache and have situations. Life has happened to them, as we've been talking. And this last one that we were just talking about was about the coworker that doesn't seem to be pulling their part of their workload. And we ended that whole discussion talking about the fact that a lot of these questions seem to revolve around the concept that we want people to do what we want them to do when we want them to do it. And when they don't, we get frustrated. That's a human nature, it's part of us, don't you think, trait?
It is. It is very much a part of us.
Yeah.
And it's because we're believing in the lie that we can change other people.
Right. And really, we can't, can we?
We not at all, ever.
The woman that marries the guy and says, well, give me 10 years with him and I'll have him whipped into shape or whatever the case may be. That just doesn't happen, does it?
No, people change when they want to change.
Right.
And only thing I can control is my own choices, my own behaviors, my own actions, my own attitudes, my
right.
own successes.
Exactly.
And no one else.
No one else. Frustrating, though, isn't it, sometimes?
It can be.
These are real-life situations we're talking about tonight, and all of them have a component of, I want somebody to do something different than they're doing. But that's
true.
Human nature. That's why they write these questions. Nothing wrong with that. We don't follow our listeners for writing that.
No, not at all. Because a lot of people get stuck in feeling that way and wanting
right.
to, you know, when the situation's seeming, you know, overwhelming or frustrating or getting them angry or they're feeling resentful, they want that person to make that change so they don't have to have these negative
exactly.
feelings.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it doesn't work that way. I have to change what I'm doing right. so I don't have these negative feelings, because that's the only person I can change.
Right.
So I can't change what this person does. I may can set better boundaries.
Right.
I may can do what I do different. But ultimately, if that person changes or not, it's that person's
That person's control. Idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's look at question number 6. This is changing the subject to a new problem here. My adult daughter and her husband are really hurting me and her father. So this must be the mother of the adult daughter. Anytime they come over to visit, they are always on their phones. A couple of weekends ago, we took them out to dinner for my son-in-law's birthday to a really nice restaurant. And neither one of them spoke to me or my husband the whole night. My daughter, whoa, that's drastic right
yeah,
there. Whoa, my daughter and son-in-law sat on their phones, texting and looking at Facebook. I felt so hurt. I am starting to feel like I do not want to even see my daughter if she is not going to talk and socialize with us. What can I do to help this situation? Interesting. She words that question interesting. What can I do to help this situation?
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting wording.
Yeah, I like it, honestly, but go ahead.
No.
Doctor, well, let's hear from you.
This is really becoming a common problem, unfortunately.
You and I have talked about it on this show. I've many times been sitting in restaurants with a friend or family and look over and people, looks like a married couple, you know, husband, mm-hmm. wife, across from each other, both on their phones, not talking the whole meal. I have seen this over and over again.
Yeah, so it happens, and it's kind of becoming this generational thing almost.
Yeah,
I'm
it
not
is.
Excusing it because
no,
oh, it's
no,
not
no.
right.
No, no.
And so the first thing I would say is maybe you need to sit down and talk to your daughter and let her know how you're feeling.
Yes.
Because people who do this, what I've found is they don't really realize what they're doing and how it affects other people.
They're just, it becomes a habit. This
not a habit, Mama Mac. It's an addiction.
Addiction. Okay. And I agree with that because, you know, even, and I have the same problem. Every few minutes, I want to check, make sure I haven't missed something or a call or something important, you know, as a realtor, checking things. I think it becomes that addiction, doesn't it? We just got to make sure. We got to look. And if yesterday I was on a airplane for 2.5 hours, okay? And that's kind of frustrating when you're used to checking and seeing what's going on. It was kind of nice, though, to turn my phone off and then turn it back on when we landed. That was kind of nice. So, but it is a problem. And so tell us what you think the mother should do, doctor.
Well, and it is. And I agree that it's a problem. And this mother is obviously feeling hurt by this. So the first thing I think she needs to do is sit down and let her daughter know that this is hurting her and how it's hurting her and what's hurting her.
Right.
Maybe even, you know, some kind of compromise or what she would like to see. Like, you know, when you come over, can we, you know, can we just talk? Can we put the phones to the side and just socialize for part of your visit?
Right.
Because like I said earlier, most people who do this don't realize what they're doing and how it's impacting other people. It's just they're so used to doing it. So it's second nature.
So you think it's second nature for a lot of this generation
coming up? I think for a lot of people it's becoming second nature.
And so they don't consider it rude?
They don't realize what they're doing.
Okay.
They honestly don't. A lot of people don't realize what they're doing. I mean, it seems like she wants to be with her parents because she's visiting with her husband, and they're going out to dinner. So those are
some
nice things.
So they make plans, nice things, yeah.
So to me, it appears that she's trying to have a relationship. She's just not doing it the way that's appropriate.
Yeah. Have you heard this in your private practice? Have you talked to
people? Oh, gosh. I hear this.
All the time?
There's all kinds of phone and social media are becoming very prevalent issues with individuals. And I get it. And so I would say, let's just talk about it. Let's, you know, sit down and talk.
So is it wrong for the mother to say, daughter, hey, this hurt my feelings? This is how I felt when we went to dinner and we spent however much money on you. And
well, it's not even about the money. I'm feeling
okay.
You know, disappointed, or I'm feeling hurt, or I'm feeling whatever. Use your I statements.
Right.
And let her know and let her, you know, let's talk about it. Let's open a real discussion.
Yeah.
And you might even have to preface that discussion as, can we talk and put our phones to the side for a minute so we can, I need your undivided attention.
Right.
This is important.
Yeah.
And have that conversation. Now, what they decide to do from there is their decision. But first, we got to let them know what's going on.
What the problem. So communicate what the problem is. I mean, don't you think it's disrespectful when people sit? I mean, it's one thing when it's something urgent or you got to look at it because you got somebody waiting for an answer on something. That's one thing. But again, communicating that to somebody you're having lunch with or whatever. Hey, I'm going to have to answer the phone here in a minute as soon as this person calls me about this appointment or whatever.
But you're talking about people who are very aware.
Yeah.
Of their phone and their texting and whatever they're doing. That's being aware. And that's what we want people to get to.
Right.
You know, I'm very aware of it. When I go have lunch with somebody, most of the time my phone is it's flipped down so I can't even see it light up.
Right.
There are times when I know my kids are driving on the road, my phone is faced up, sure. And I let them know if I get a call from a kid, I'm answering it.
And then you got that watch thing on your arm.
I do. So, but I don't sit and let it rule me, but I'm aware of it. And most people aren't so aware of it. So first is learning to kind of be aware
of
how much we're really doing it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of your smartphones will even track how much time you are like on the internet and doing all that stuff. Yeah. It's kind of scary. I saw people posting to, you know, on Facebook. Oh, I spent, you know, 1400 hours on Facebook last year. And I'm like, I mean, honestly, I know. I was like,
that's kind of, Chris, you have a comment.
There's two things that I want to say here. One of them is, to your point, Doctor, you can only take responsibility for something if you recognize that you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Or you've done something wrong. If you don't think that you're doing anything wrong, then you have not, why would you take responsibility? Why would you, you know, why would you put yourself in a position where you are admitting fault for something that you don't feel like you did wrong?
Right.
And that's the problem because of the societal change that cell phones and Facebook have brought on. People don't get it. It reminds me of when we were years and years and years ago when there was no internet.
Right.
And we tried to explain to our parents and our grandparents how to use email. How to use the internet.
Right.
We, in that younger generation, weren't the ones doing anything wrong, but our parents were like, why are you constantly on doing these? Like,
yes.
You had to, like, teach them. And so now it's kind of the reverse, because now it's up to the people who are being offended.
Right.
However they're being offended.
Sure.
To make sure that you set, like you've said, some sort of boundary.
Yeah, I like
that.
Whether
it's dinner time, okay? We're going to sit down as a family and we're going to have dinner.
That's right.
And for this hour, our phones are going to be in the other room. The TV's going to be off, the whatever. But you have to communicate it, because otherwise, at the end of the day, I'm never going to put my phone down if I don't know that it bothers you.
Right.
You know?
And a lot of lack of communication there with people.
True. And it's a great point. You're right. Because a lot of people who do this aren't aware of what they're doing and how it's affecting the people around them at all.
This summer, when my oldest son and his wife and the four boys came to visit and we were at the beach for 3 days, the second day of our vacation, my son said, this is ridiculous. Two of the boys are teenagers and two are little guys. And he said, phones are off for the entire day. And I mean, there was some, oh, you can't do that, Dad. You know, my girlfriend, blah, blah, and all of that. And it was like, it wasn't pretty there for a few minutes. How dare you do this, you know? But we had such a fun day. And later at the end of the day, we talked about the fact that, hey, it's been a day without phones. And look at us. We've had fun. How about that?
Well, and the other thing, too, is those kids don't know what life is like without it.
That's right.
It's like if you took my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or you took my wrestlers away when I was a kid, I would have flipped out like that.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's like now. They don't know. They grew up with a cell phone in their back pocket.
They grew up
with Facebook. They don't know what life is like without it. So our Barbie dolls and our Ninja Turtle figurines are their cell phones.
Yeah, that's true.
So they don't know anything else.
They're giving, I mean, little tiny kids get cell phones.
I know it.
Some parents buy little 4 and 5 year old cell phones. I mean, it's crazy. Thank you, Chris, for weighing in.
That was a good point, too. A lot of people don't know life without that. So we just have to start communicating and being open and talking about it.
Right, absolutely. All right, here's another one. Number 7, help the holiday. Help! No, it's supposed to be help. The holidays are coming. Every year, my family expects me and my children to spend the holidays with them. The problem is, my family always has drama. Drama. There is always tension and someone who is fighting with someone else. Typically, something explodes during some point. When I talked to my mom about this, she told me to quit being a baby. All families have disagreements. I have come to hate the holidays. Whoa, is that a strong sentence, doctor?
It's very strong.
Honestly, I just want to spend the holidays with my own children and make our own food and have a peaceful day. Is it okay to just stay home? Boy, this is a... Thanksgiving's around the corner here. This is a very important question at this time of year.
It absolutely is. And I think this person's probably writing for maybe a third of America that struggles with family conflict.
A third of America.
Right. Over the holidays. And holidays can be a time of tension for a lot of families. And it's bringing a lot of people together who may not see each other very often.
Right.
A lot of times there's all these underlying disagreements and arguments, and they kind of go under the table because we're not going to talk about it and resolve it. So it's going to be there, but we're going to put all these people together and we're just going to have a happy, happy, happy time. And it doesn't work because then somebody gets
happy, happy, happy time. All three happies there.
They are. And then somebody is going to give somebody a look and it's going to set it off.
Or somebody's going to make an undercurrent or undertone comment that is meant to be a dig, and the person receiving the dig found it as a dig and now are upset.
Well, it's because our buttons are very sensitive because we have a conflict that's not resolved, or other people have conflicts that are not resolved.
Right.
So, holidays can be very stressful.
Oh, boy, isn't that truth. So what do you say here?
Well, first of all,
the question is it okay to just stay home? Is her question?
I know she's looking for permission to be.
She's looking for permission to be an adult.
She's an adult. She has her own kids.
Woo! That was pretty strong, Chris. She's looking for permission to be an adult. Okay.
She is an adult. She has her own children. That's an adult.
Okay.
So as an adult, guess what? You say who? You say when? You say how much? And if this isn't something you want to do, that's a choice you can make.
Right.
And you don't need someone to tell you, you have permission.
So you would say to this woman, hey, why not try it a year staying home without being there and plan another time to visit the family?
Try it different. You are an adult. You can make this decision
yourself. Try it different.
So here's the thing. There's no right or wrong. If you want to do something and you're an adult, you can make that choice for yourself.
Okay.
Now, am I going to say they're not going to be upset and angry with you? They may. Your family has an expectation and you may not be doing what they want. But guess what? You're an adult.
Wow.
You get to make adult decisions. And so if you want to sit home and be with your children and have your own quiet holiday, it's a choice you can make.
So you're giving her permission.
Well, she has permission to be an adult. And if an adult comes with making a decision to have a holiday at home, yes.
I love Dr. Angel. She's great. She's great. What do you think, Chris? She's great.
What if the girl's only 16 and has kids?
Oh, well, that's different. She's not an adult then.
She's not an adult then.
This girl appears to be an adult. Yeah.
It does appear to be an adult.
And it's interesting, says here, typically something explodes during some point. And that happens in so many family situations, doesn't it? We hear that in counseling and people get...
Yep, things do. And it happens. And it's because all this underlying stuff that goes on all the other times of the year. And we just sweep it under the rug, put all these people in a room, bring out the turkey. And we're going to just do this and have a very lovely, happy, 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 joyous holiday.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You know... That's good. You know, when I think about this, it almost reminds me of Clark Griswold's Christmas.
It does. My kids and I, we watch that every year. You know, that's just one of those. You got to watch.
And then it was disastrous.
That's a great movie for that.
But she seems pretty insecure in making this decision at whatever, you know, having that permission. So maybe, you know, you set a boundary. Maybe you don't go all day. Maybe you just go for dessert and you have your own holiday.
Yeah.
Maybe you just stay home and have your own holiday all day.
Right.
But... be open and honest and stand firm in your choice. And
absolutely.
If someone disagrees with you, that's okay. They're allowed to disagree.
Yeah.
And, you know, just got to stand firm in your choice.
And don't be pressured. If it's really something you want to do to stay home, do your own thing this year.
Yeah, it's totally acceptable to do it. Sometimes it comes with backlash. I can tell you, when I was a new mother, my mother-in-law had expectations that all her kids and their wives would be at every holiday, time. And I remember when I had my kids and I thought, if I go to their house every holiday, then how will my kids have my traditions that I get to celebrate with them? So that wasn't something I wanted to do. I didn't want to start that way because I didn't want to get stuck that way. And so I stayed home, and it took her years to speak with us.
Wow.
Because she was so angry. But you know what? I have never been so secure in that choice. And now my kids are grown, and some are adult. And the thing they can remember most is holidays.
Right.
The holiday traditions we started as our own family.
Right.
And it didn't mean I didn't try and visit for dessert or go earlier in the day or do something special. I wasn't trying to not socialize. I just wanted that time for my kids.
So, well, and you wanted it to be your choice. What time?
And it was my choice.
Yes.
And it did have a consequence. But you know what? All our choices have consequences.
They do.
Just stand firm in your choice.
You know, as people go through conflicts in families, they're real. It's not something to be ashamed of and not something to hide under the rug. But resolving them, come to a resolution at some point. And that it was your resolution and to compromise, you know? Hey, parents, you know, especially when you have a son and a daughter-in-law, let's say you both of them have a family. So,
right. You
know, it's really in our family, we just try our best to work around all of that. And then occasionally everybody gets together at the same time, but it's hard sometimes.
Sure it is. And,
yeah.
And you have to realize, you know, be thankful for who's there.
Yes.
And, you know, and miss the ones that aren't.
Right.
And, you know, we can't control other people and stop trying to because it's making our lives miserable.
That's right.
And so you have the freedom to make an adult decision.
There you go.
And do that and do what you think you need to do for you and your children.
We're talking about adult decisions today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be
wow.
Adult.
Quit trying to control other people and make some adult decisions. All right. You know, doctor, I just wish us more and more. We have a lot of questions that come in. We really do. But we want to hear from you, audience. And we never get tired of doing these Q&A shows. And actually, we didn't get through everything
we wanted
to do today. So we may be continuing this here very shortly. And so we have time for you to send in a question soon to us. And you can do that two ways. You can send it through our texting, through Google Voice, and that's 727-888-4171. Send your question, or if it's lengthy, write us an email, goyard2014@gmail.com. Dr. Angel, always a joy, always fun, always informative.
This was a great show. These were great questions.
These are great questions. We've covered a lot of intense stuff that people deal with. So, you know what? Send them in because we may be doing another Q&A real quick because we have not finished this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I like that happy song there, Chris. That was really good.
I mean, I felt like we had to. You guys,
I know.
I think you said the word happy like 16 times over the course of 30 seconds.
Good old Pharrell. That's a great song. All right, audience, go to our website to hear all the shows that we have done up till now, up through October. All of them are on goyard2014.org, O-R-G. Go to our website, goyard2014.org. Easy to listen to the shows. There's tons of them there already, 14 months worth. All right, this has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard today. See you next week.
Good night.